Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Stone Payton, Sam Agarwal, and Mariana here with you for our very special Emerging Enterprise series here on High Velocity Radio and the Business Radio X network. Sam, how are things over at AppZora? What have you been up to, buddy?
Doing great. We're doing very well at the Atlanta Tech Village, just creating cool products.
And you brought Mariana with you this morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Thank you for having us here.
Well, we couldn't do it without you guys underwriting the show. We so appreciate it. We think it's so important to talk about these subjects. This is very important work. I'm so excited about the guest that we have with us this morning. No stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, but this guy's been out making new friends lately. We got to get caught up with him. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Atlanta Chapter President with Keretsu, Mr. Barry Etra. Welcome back, man.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having me.
No, we're us. We're us. Yeah. We're family, yeah. Man. So, yeah, you've been out making some new friends and cooking up some new stuff, haven't you?
Well, the good news about this is, while it's going to be more work for me, it's all the same cohort. So what I'm doing, what I'll be doing with Keretsu is the same group of people that I'll be talking to for the Raise Forum and for Kicker Design. They're all the same early stage world from somewhat early on to now you've got established companies that need to go farther. And Keretsu is going to be a great thing for this part of the world. Keretsu is the largest and most active angel investment group in the U.S. and in the world. They just the Mid-Atlantic and the Southeast groups last year funded 42 companies, and that's growing.
Well, that's rapidly amazing. So you just said that Keretsu is the largest group of angel investors in the world. So how many members do they have?
There are 1,400 members in the United States. There are another 1,000 throughout the rest of the world, and they're growing not even linearly, I'd say exponentially.
So is there any other country that has a big presence of angel investors?
Many. I don't know if Keretsu is the biggest in any of those.
Mm-hmm.
I do know they're the largest in the United States and in the world, and Toto. But there are, if you go to the Angel Capital Association website,
mm-hmm,
they publish something every year called the Halo Report, something to do with angels. And they will list who the most active investors are. This is all about the United States. And you can see in each region of the country what the most active angel group is, who the most top four or five are. I got a lot of good information from there. But we've been doing at Emory very much what they do in a much bigger way in the rest of the world. And they came in here to Atlanta. Morris Manning & Martin is going to be their host sponsor, and the initial meeting is going to be Thursday. And we have a bunch of people signed up, and hopefully we'll get some members to join right away and more as time goes by.
How many startups have you guys funded so far?
I don't know what that number is. Last year, they funded, I believe the number is 168 startups.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a big number.
Yeah. I don't know what the total number is, though.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. $72 million. So, of course, I'm in my head doing division, thinking, okay, how much is that per startup? It's about $400,000 per
startup.
But what makes them really special is because of their network. If you're an investor, and Keretsu is all about investors. If you're an investor and you want to get mobile software deals, you can go on their online deal portal and check out every mobile software deal they've funded and invest in it if you want and be part of it. The other thing that happens is if you are a business that gets through there are actually three rounds. You have an initial round, second round, and then if you get through those two, you can go through due diligence. Once you go through due diligence, you're pretty much a slam dunk to be funded. Last year, they funded almost 90% of anybody who got through the due diligence.
So what are some of the parameters of the due diligence?
they go through, there are no stones unturned in their process. They do 6 to 8 weeks of due diligence. It's very comprehensive and complicated. But once you get through that and you present, say you get, pick a number, $300,000 from your local Keiretsu, you then can do a roadshow. You can choose to go to any other Keiretsu city or region all over the country or the world, actually. What that really means is whatever you get in one place, you can pyramid 5, 10, 20 times sometimes. I can tell you one example of a company in Philadelphia that got its initial money from that group, went all over the country getting money, ended up with $23 million.
Oh, that's amazing.
Angel fund. It's amazing. I've never heard of anybody else being able to do that.
So what's the draw for you personally? What do you like the most about all this?
Well,
you're an investor, I assume, yes?
No, I'm not really an investor. Okay. I'm more of I was an observer. I got involved in this by accident. And my background into this was, I looked at this world and I said, this is chaos. The investors don't know the companies don't know the investors. There's no structured place for them to meet. And my consultant hat kicked in and I said, I can fix this. Mm-hmm. So that's how the thing at Emory got started, Raise. And there's a real problem with companies, and it's even worse now that the banking system, the banks have lent less and less money over the years.
Yeah.
It's really shrunk down. So if you're an early startup company, it's harder and harder to get the funding you need to grow. Mm-hmm. The diciest part of the system is the early part. Once you get over a certain size, now you're in venture capital territory. Past that, you're in private equity territory. That's about $10 million in sales and $2 million in EBITDA. But before that, it's hard to get this kind of funding. And I've been very passionate about, we need more senior funding here in Atlanta. And everybody says that. You read every article in the Business Chronicle. That's what they say. Nobody seemed to be doing anything about it. This will be another big step. The good news, there are a lot of collaborations going on now. I have to throw a shout out to Cox. They've been amazing as a company. Yeah. They have been, their mantra is, we are going to help entrepreneurial business grow in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have been fantastic. They brought in Techstars. They're part of all these collaborations, mm-hmm. The Bridge and Engage and Endeavor. They've been amazing.
So if a startup wants to get in the Keiretsu circle, what do they need to do? How does that happen?
You apply online, right through the website. Each month, there are a bunch of people going through applications. If you make it through that initial screening, you're brought in to present and meet people. And if you're good enough at that point, then you're offered the opportunity to go through due diligence. There is a little cost to due diligence, but it's a 6 to 8 week process, and it's not prohibitive for companies.
So how many times the company get to present to you guys, for example? How many times in a year companies have the chance to present in front of you?
Atlanta's new. Mm-hmm. Last year, I believe the Mid-Atlantic and Southeast, which are run by the same gentleman, Howard Lubert, who will be down here tomorrow and Thursday, I believe they had 30 or 40 applications, companies applying per month.
Okay.
And again, that'll just grow because Atlanta, I think, will have an entirely, maybe 50% more into that mix.
Yeah.
Right. At Keiretsu, do you guys give entrepreneurship to your startups? Do you help them incubate after you fund them?
Well, there are the advantage, again, of Keiretsu, and like many other, there are other groups that are like this, but mm-hmm. they have many resources. Right. So they can help the companies in, because they know a lot of people, they've been involved in that world. Right. They have experience in specific things, and they have contacts.
Right. So I guess one of your competitors would be Techstars.
Well, Techstars is different. Now, Techstars is a very, very small mm-hmm. slice. Techstars' first group had, I think, 1,400 applicants. They ended up with 12 finalists. So you can figure that out, right? You're less than 1 in 100 just to get in. Mm-hmm. And then they're working with a very small group of companies. Now, Techstars is great because some of those companies remained in Atlanta. Many of them were not Atlanta companies. Mm-hmm. But some of them remained here. Now, this next cohort of, I forget how many, 14, but more of them are Southeast than before.
In this arena, though, is competitor even the right moniker for that? I mean, there's just so much to be done and so many folks right. to help, and candidly, so much money to be made, right? I mean, it's not a traditional competitive environment.
Well, I guess in my opinion, it would be a competitor because VCs and angels are looking for the star startups, right? They're looking for the best best products.
Well, Keretsu is not a competitor to Techstars. Techstars is an incubator and accelerator. Right. You do get a little bit of money, but you need $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. Right. That's not what they do.
Right.
Now, they have people watching them, as do 500 startups, as do Y Combinator. You know, if you're going through those systems, they're so high quality. There are people waiting at the other end to look at those companies.
Yeah. They get exposure during the program.
Does the name mean anything? Keretsu? I don't think I would have named my company that, but there's probably some meaning behind that, right?
I was told your company was going to be that originally.
Keretsu X.
Keretsu is a Japanese term for a group of companies that band together for strategic advantage. And it was started by a guy named Randy Williams out on the West Coast 17 years ago and has been growing ever since.
How'd you get on their radar? They got on your radar? How'd that happen? You were out in San Francisco sipping some wine in the Valley.
I'd love to say it was my personal magnetism, but it was, they went to Morris Manning & Martin and said, we want you guys to be the host sponsor.
Ah.
And they then asked them who should be the president of Atlanta, and they said, Barry Etra.
Yeah, Barry's not doing anything. Let's have Barry do it.
Yeah, he's the man.
All right, so you got this event coming up, right?
Yeah.
And this is coming up soon. What can we expect? Who can come? What's going to happen there?
Well, this is by invitation only, as are most of the Keretsu meetings. One of the nice things about them, and we do the same kind of thing at Raise, is it's not a room filled with service providers.
Yeah.
You have to be invited. There is no solicitation allowed at the meetings. The sponsors who pay to be sponsors get to stand up and have a couple of minutes and talk about what they do. But they very specifically try to get to people, make sure the people there are interested parties, whether they're in potential investors, potential affiliated partners, such as other angel groups and such who might want to join and syndicate, family offices, or potential sponsors. So that's who comes. We have a big crowd coming already for Thursday, I think bigger than they expected. Yay.
And the sponsor draw from a Morris Manning Martin that wants to be the, you know, the main thing to any other sponsor. What is the sponsor draw? They get to build relationships with these young people doing amazing things. And in many cases, they need or will need their services, everything from legal to whatever.
Right. And the only ones allowed to solicit in the room during the meetings, and they're on every piece of mail that goes out, or any piece of email, I guess, that goes out, or any announcements. And strangely enough, the other side of the coin, other than the entrepreneurs, a lot of wealthy people. Just, always very good.
Just period, amen, wealthy people in the room. Right. And wealthy people who apparently kind of have that mindset of, I'm not just going to sit back, at the lake house. I want to be involved and help create something.
Paying it forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Yeah, that's very important nowadays. Right.
It's a great group to be a sponsor of.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. Now, Mariana mentioned something earlier. I think you were asking about how many times they get to pitch or present. I'd like to dive in, maybe get a little counsel or anecdotal evidence of what happens. When someone's presenting in this environment, what is that structure like? Is this like a little quick 2-minute thing? How does all that work?
No, it runs, they give you a little longer. They give you 10 minutes to present. I've only been to one meeting, so I'm not an expert about this yet. They give you 10 minutes to vent and then 10 minutes of questions and answers. And then at some point, after that, they actually have the presenter leave and there's some discussion. And they actually try to give the presenter a takeaway from the group, the last question that hadn't gotten asked to that point, that they should be thinking about.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So in all of your experience in this world, I suspect you've seen some really strong presentations. You've seen some weaker ones. And I wonder if you haven't seen some patterns in both. Can you just kind of share for our listening audience some things that, you know, do's, don'ts, you know, good, bad, however you want to label it, when you're trying to go out and make these presentations?
On the presentation side, first, most people don't take the time to make a good two-page summary, mm-hmm. which is really your face to the world. And a good two-page summary has to, and I'm going to rip through this, has to have, what's the problem? What's your solution? Why does there need to be a solution? Mm-hmm. How do you turn that into a business that makes money? How much money do you need to do that, and what's it for? A little bit about the company, the management, a little bit about competition, a 3 to 5 year pro forma, and an exit strategy. Almost no two-page summary has all of that. It should, but and it's from people thinking about what they like and not what investors
yeah,
like.
Correct.
So that happens a lot. On the presentation side, we have a guy, Steve Brett, who's been here, who's a presentation maven. He's great. Presentation tune-ups. He's on our board at the forum. He works with companies because, in general, people tend to put up slides and then tell you what's on the slide,
mm-hmm.
which is not only insulting everybody's intelligence, but it's not a good presentation.
Yeah, you got to know what you're presenting.
Right. And you want to make it less print, more pictures, and you really want to get right to the heart of what you just want to say right away. I've seen people go, we give people at Raise 8 minutes. I've seen people go on and on and on, and we're sitting there with the cutoff sign. I can't do this on radio, but and we can't get them to stop. And the real thing people need to do is practice, sit there with a timer and practice and figure out, I have 8 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. How do I get it into that and say everything I want to say? And if I have too much, I have to take out the non-essential stuff. Okay. It's really all about practicing.
And so let's say they nail down all the points and topics they have to put on a presentation, and they do okay in the presentation. So, but what do you look in an entrepreneur? What do you look in a company?
Well, it varies by entrepreneur. The first thing is, and frankly, this annoys me, but I understand why. The first thing they all look at, has the entrepreneur done it before? That's a big plus.
The experience.
If an entrepreneur has taken a company up to somewhere where somebody's bought it, or they've sold to somebody else for a big profit, that's huge in people's mind. They also know they know how to navigate the waters. The second thing is really making people understand why this is going to be something that people want. People get lost in the technology. It's a real... People get very excited about their technology and will go on and on about it. If somebody wants to know more about it, is excited, they'll dive in. But you've got to tell them more about the business side. How does it become, why is this going to be a business that makes money? And obviously, if there's some component of changing the world, that's great too. That's not many, but there are a lot out there that really tug at people's heartstrings.
I'll bet. All right, let's get off the stage and let's just have lunch with an investor. What kind of things should you do or not do, just in kind of more casual conversation, just trying to get the relationship going a little bit? Any don'ts in that one, or do's?
No, I would do as Sam was talking about this before. I would ask them for advice. People hate to be put in your debt, but they love giving advice. So ask for advice. Ask them what do you see here? What would you change? What would you do differently? What do you think our next step should be? Do you think this is a good place to be, or should we be pivoting slightly? And you'll get a lot of opinions too. But the people who, you'll always get a lot of opinions. But it's the more advice you can, more you can ask people for advice, especially the investors, the better you are.
Well, part of what drove the question in my mental image for this world is probably based largely on what I've seen in the movies, okay? But in my mind, out in San Francisco, up in Boston, there's just people all over town having lunch and talking about, the new business idea and all that. and it's just humming. What is that? Is that happening here in Atlanta? Is it just day in, day out? Are we kind of growing into that as well? How would you characterize the scene, I guess you'd call it?
No, there's a lot of Atlanta is alive with stuff. I mean, it doesn't have the money background. It doesn't have, I once talked to a guy in Boston and I told him about a company, a life sciences company that somebody said I should send to them. And he was a friend of somebody I knew. And I said, you know, is this something you can do? He says, if I like this, he says, I can get 15 people tomorrow to join in. Because they syndicate very well. They work together. They know if somebody is really interested in something, that they understand this market and this specific thing, they'll jump in. There are a lot of people in Atlanta who have very, very narrowly defined what they're looking for on the investor side. Most investors, I would say in general, if they invest in what they know, very few groups will invest across the spectrum of industries. So also helps to know who's interested, say, in the fintech world, who's interested in the cybersecurity world, who's interested in the products world. That's something that, for example, in Atlanta, the guys at Twitch Yards are really trying to get going, but business to consumer is still a very, very small piece here.
Mm-hmm. So what do you need more of? You're just kind of getting this chapter off the ground. You got fantastic backdrop foundation for this organization. What do you need most and how can we help?
Well, you need investors to join. It's a very reasonable price to join. In my mind, if you're an investor invests $50,000 to $100,000 a year, this is a slam dunk. Yeah, obviously more as well, because you will see more deal flow and better deal flow because it's better, you know, it's better due diligenced. I'm not sure that's a verb.
It is now.
And
it's a bariatrum.
Right. And you will get more, you'll get more opportunities from all over the country because companies that are going on these road trips come in also. As much as I'd like to keep it Southeast, and that's what we do at Raise, it's better to be able to have more options for investors because the more better options investors have, the better, happier they are. I'm not sure we've had that to the same degree to this point.
And frequency for getting these folks together, or are you still kind of getting all that ironed out? And that's what your organizational
meetings will be once a month.
Once a month.
I think after the first, after September, it'll be the second Wednesday of every month. It will be by invitation only, but, entrepreneurs can come, potential sponsors, potential university partners mm-hmm. can come, because some of the universities will be partners in order to have their law students and business students be part of the due diligence team and also create a relationship.
Yeah, and if I'm a potential investor, I can do something to see about getting invited, like document that I'm accredited or whatever the hoops are that you need to jump through.
Just contact me, Barrett, Bietra at KoretsuForum.net. And also, there are a lot of advantages just to be able to reach out to all the different Koretsus out there. There are, you know, my sense is this is new here. I want to make this work for everybody. They have relatively reasonable rules. They don't have anything that precludes cooperation and collaboration. And as I've said here, you need the next step after keeping the senior funding, collaboration, not competition.
Right.
Right. That's a big deal. And we haven't totally learned that in Atlanta, but we're getting better.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before we wrap, let's make sure that we leave our listeners with contact information one more time. Whatever's most appropriate for them to reach out directly to you or to learn more about Koretsu.
Well, to learn more, go to KoretsuForum.com, KoretsuForum.com. And there's also /Southeast, which is our region, which to date is only Miami and now Atlanta. So it's fairly small. My email is Bietra@KoretsuForum.net. And happy to answer anything I get.
Well, Barry, thank you so much for coming down and hanging with us this morning. Thank you for what you're doing. Please keep up the good work. Please keep us posted on anything we can and should be doing to get the word out. This is, as I tried to convey at the top of the program, this is so important, this work that you're doing. We sincerely appreciate it. And, you know, I'm sincere when I say we're going to have you back. And we'll get caught up. Mariana, what a delight to have you join us.
Thank you. It was awesome today. I'm so happy that I got to ask some questions and be in the show.
Yeah. And Sam, thank you for underwriting the show. None of this would be possible without Absorto Technologies underwriting the show. Yeah. Yes.
So, Barry, before we sign out, I just want to... we're talking about this while in the lobby. Just if you can give a brief on Kicker Design, it's a really cool concept.
Kicker Design was started by, and this in an interesting confluence of how these worlds meet, a young guy named Addison Shelton, who was an ME from Stanford, brilliant guy, worked for Apple and for Tesla, came here to help his friend run his nanotech company at the ATDC, I believe. They got funded out of Silicon Valley, and guess what? They left. So he was looking around for something to do, and he said, you know, there's nothing like IDO, which is the premier prototyping and design group out on the West Coast here in this part of the world. Why don't I start that? And he started that, and they were doing well. And then one of the gentlemen who's on my board at Raise, Harold Brown, investor, entrepreneur, very involved in the early stage world here, but a products guy. So he's a little bit of a fish out of water in Atlanta in a way. And he mentored Addison for about 9 months. And in December of 2015, they became partners. Last year, I think, and there are no real numbers for this, I think Kicker Design was the fastest growing company in Atlanta.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable growth. Almost too fast. I've never seen a company grow that fast. And it's what happens when you have brilliant engineering and really good company development on one side, and great marketing on the other side.
That's right.
And what really makes them different is they're engineers who are focused on entrepreneurs. And not only do they have everything in-house that you need to build anything, which so they don't send anything out. They love to build stuff. But more importantly, they have all the minds there that need to be seeing it there at the same time. Mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, industrial designers, Internet of Things guys, coders. All there in-house. So it not only does it make it less expensive, I think, and quicker to get what you really want, anywhere from back of the napkin sketch to manufacturing prototype and past light manufacturing, but it also means you end up with a much more efficient product. We've had a couple of cases where we reduced the price of the product in our redesign by as much as 10 times. And that's the real value. Because prototyping is not inexpensive, right, but needs to be done.
Exactly the kind of story that I'd like to hear about and that we love to share here on Emerging Enterprise.
Right. Yeah? So Barry, if I was an entrepreneur and I had a product and I had a prototype, would Kicker Design be open to validating it, doing tests for an outside entity?
That's probably not what they would do.
Okay.
They're much more interested. I mean, they'd certainly, the initial conversation is free.
Mm-hmm.
You get your time free, they'll say yes, no. In fact, if it won't work, they'll tell you. We could take your money, but we're not going to. But they would give you the time free at the beginning, talk about it, want to know where you go. They really like to delve into where you want to go, what your direction is.
Correct.
And then once you get there, they'll give you a cost of work, engineering time, design time. And they don't want any of your IP. They don't want to take away from your real value.
Mm. They're purely a service provider.
Right. But they will be advising as direction and such, saying, have you thought about this? Think about doing it this way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. One more time, coordinates to reach out to you, Barry, website, whatever.
Bietra@karetsuforum.net. You know, I'm hoping I'm getting this right because I haven't had this very long. No, but that's it. Bietra@keiretsuforum.net.
Fantastic. And Sam, for App Zorro, someone wants to reach out, have a conversation with you, someone on your team, best way to reach out?
Absolutely. Come on over to appzoro.com, appzoro.com. We build mobile solutions for startups and enterprises.
Yeah, or you can call me 678-462-4034.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all for this morning. What a fabulous show. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for our producer, Katie Galley, our sponsor, Sam Agarwal with AppZorto Technologies, and Mariana. And of course, we want to thank our guest, Barry Etra. We'll see you next time on Emerging Enterprise.